My calendar tells me this is the last weekend in March. Well, how about that? You've heard a bit of the forecast just a second ago. We'll give you a little bit more later in more detail than Megan just gave you. Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you here. Yep, the last weekend of March. Happy to have you on board the program here. Kyle, good afternoon to you. I do believe you have sunshine pouring in your window there. That's a good sign.
Quite a bit of it, actually.
Quite a bit. Still some snow left over from hither, thither, and yon from our little white visitor last, what was it, Sunday night into Monday morning. So some of that's still left. But I just wanted to tell folks that what you didn't hear in that forecast is tomorrow, you heard the sleet and the rain and that sort of thing, that combination. But winds are going to be crazy tomorrow, gusting as high as 40 miles per hour. 40. It's going to blow that hat right off your head there, Kyle, right down the street, huh? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, I'll tell you what, we'll just have to take it as it comes here. We're getting into April. April Fool's Day is next Wednesday. And March, well, it's been kind of a weird month. It could have been worse. We've had worse months, haven't we, in March months. But we'll get through it, and we're doing it just fine. Thank you for being with us today. Right now, you heard 34 degrees, heading for a high of 43, and we're heading for a good program for you, we think. It's time to proceed with that main event. Reading. It's reading stuff, learning from that stuff, and being entertained by that stuff. Yes, it's all about books this noon hour. Our little rectangular friends that are always ready to fill our minds with all manner of things. Spring is here, well, by the calendar anyway, and there are rumors that summer will follow spring. And that means lots of new books are rolling off the presses, and we need to get caught up with what's between the covers of books, that is. We have an excellent tour guide whose name is synonymous with the world of books. That name?
All day, all night, Mariette. Down by the seaside.
That got her going. Yes, Marianne, as in Marianne Grossman. Yep. Marianne's the leading light of book critics and reviewers, the pride of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. I call her the queen of bookdom. That's her domain. Welcome back. That caught you off guard, didn't it?
I love it. What a compliment.
Got your own theme song. How about that? Oh, my goodness. Well, Marianne Grossman, goodness sakes, been doing this wonderful job of book reviewing and book critiquing for a long, long time. Your life, Marianne, is truly an open book, as I like to say.
It is an open book.
I guess you have several books open at any given time.
And boring, too.
I don't know. How many books pour into your office with the paper every year?
I bet, depending upon the season. This is the season. Right. I would guess six bins every week, those big mailing bins.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. In terms of sheer numbers of volumes, what would that be about, roughly? Just a rough guess.
100 maybe.
Is this every week or every month?
Every week.
Every week.
Then it dips down because spring and fall are the two big seasons. Mm-hmm. So along about summer, it tails off a little bit.
Okay. Well, we're coming into the big season here for spring and summer reading. You're going to have a special section, I would guess, and a special column.
Actually, we did our special section in February because the spring season really starts in March.
Oh, okay.
So from now on, I will probably be doing reviews of these books that are just now coming in.
We've
got a good selection today.
We do. Yeah. You brought lots in your book bag today.
I did.
There's all kinds of book-related events, though, going on right now. Some of them, well, we've lost some people, but we have some other some interesting positive things happening. Why don't you go ahead and tell us, bring us up to date on what's going on.
Okay, well, in deaths, we lost Alan Kornblum since I was here in August. He died in, I believe, November, and he was founder of Coffee House Press and also a printer. And he really loved to still do the old cold type. And he was in the forefront of this renaissance of small presses that burst onto the Twin Cities scene in the 80s. He came and Grey Wolf Press and Milkweed Editions morphed into a publisher. Holy Cow came into Duluth.
Holy Cow Press.
That's an exclamation point, too.
Yep, okay.
Jim Froman would want us to say that.
That's a publisher, too. Okay.
And so it was a great loss. Luckily, they knew that he was ill and the press is going on. And let me talk, too, then about the press, which is also a sponsor of something else we'll talk about, so we'll put that on hold for a minute. I sound like Kermit the Frog, like every other Minnesotan. Mm-hmm. I'm dripping and sneezing and...
You still have winter in your throat.
We still, yes.
There have been some other passings. We might as well do those before
Sexted. Even though some people may not have known her, her name is attached to the big award that's given to the Minnesota Book Awards, which I'm happy to say I won the second year.
Congratulations. Kay Sexton.
And Kay was important because, I don't know if people can go back that far in their memories, but she worked for Barnes & Noble. She was the vice president. And before that, she was at their flagship store in St. Louis Park. Mm-hmm. One of the suburbs. And she put out this thing called the Green Sheet. And it went all over the country to Barnes & Noble stores. And she would forecast what middle class, the ordinary, and I'm saying that in the nicest sense of the word, the regular reader would like. And she was always right on. And she became a great power. And she was the great power in the literary world.
Kay Sexton.
Uh-huh.
Gone. Not forgotten.
No. And then Stanley Gordon West, who wrote many books, including When the Streetcars... Oh, my gosh, I'm blanking. When they brought back the streetcars.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he was a self-publisher. Mm-hmm. He used to sit, he remembered sitting with another guy nobody ever heard of called Vince Flynn, selling their books out of their trunk. Or I guess they were somewhere where nobody was paying any attention
out
to them.
Out of the backside of their car,
right.
Out of their trunk. Okay.
And he was very much a St. Paul. He lived in Montana for a while, but then he came back to Shakopee. But his books were mostly based on his days at Central High School.
Central High School.
Stanley Gordon West.
Mm-hmm. A fine storyteller, he too. Now, as you know, one of the sponsors on this program is Valley Bookseller in Stillwater right here, but that's one of many fine, that's, of course, has to be my favorite bookshop. But there are other fine indies, as we call them.
Well, that's the interesting thing, going back to when Kay and Barnes & Noble was first coming in, when Kay Sexton was doing this, and the indies were terrified, and of course we saw them drop, but now there's this renaissance, there's the resurgence of indies, partly because of the local movement, and partly because people are starting to figure out that they owe something to their small business.
They do, and these ladies over here at Valley Bookseller, and I know a subtext we're going to talk about in a minute, Valley, Kathleen Eddy and her crew over here, they are superb book people.
They know what they're talking about.
If
you want something for Auntie M., yeah. They will tell you.
They know. They probably read the book, too. But we mentioned Subtext, and they're very fine, independent bookstore. They've been situated where Mr. Keeler used to have his bookshop. Below street level, Western and Selby, and Subtext is moving out of there.
They're moving. For the first time in more than a decade, downtown St. Paul will have a full-service independent bookstore. I remember 5 years ago when the arts entertainment section was doing wish lists, and we were calling around to the arts community, and the biggest wish list in the literary beat was a downtown St. Paul bookstore. Mm-hmm. And soon, Suze Zumberg, who knows what she's doing...
She does. Suze's a good one.
...is going to, I think, draw a lot of lunch people. Mm-hmm. She's going to be in the St. Paul building, which is the old Germania building.
Fifth and Wabasha.
Right. And here's a fact I did not know until I wrote this story. It is the only surviving red sandstone skyscraper in St. Paul.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You checked that with Larry Millette, did you?
I don't have to. And people may not realize it's kind of squeezed. It's a narrow building, so you have to stand across Wabasha to look at it.
Okay.
Beautiful building.
I love the building. Anyway, we're going to have a bookshop there at street level.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A couple of window bays there.
And it's going to be different because the current location in Blair Arcade is a historic district. She can't put any signage outside, it's really hard to find.
It is.
So now she wants to have a big sign. The people, she says, will look down from St. Paul Hotel. Mm-hmm. They can look right down Wabasha and see her sign.
Absolutely. And she'll no longer be in the basement.
She said, it's time to come up. My ears are getting pointy.
Looking like a mushroom. Okay. Well, that'll happen in May for Subtext. That's very good. And then we've got a huge number of people coming into downtown Minneapolis for a big book event.
It is the biggest literary event in the country. The Associated Writing Programs, it started out to be largely academics, but now it's everybody, publishers, writers, everybody in the literary world. There might be as many as 20,000. There will certainly be 15,000.
Wow.
It's at the Minneapolis Convention Center in the Hilton. And the book fair that's attached to it is legendary.
What's the book fair?
It's open. It's just like the Minnesota
Book Fair. Is it open to the public?
Well, I'm going to tell you that. Yeah. 700 dealers. If you're interested in very small press magazines, like where people get started, because you can go on. So, no, you can get in. You can buy a pass for $245. And most people aren't going to want to do that. But
no.
This year, for the first time, there is a $40 Saturday-only pass, which gets you into everything. There are 200 authors and panelists in this. And so it will get you into Saturday and to the book fair. And you can buy those tickets at the door. If you want to be immersed in the literary community, really, this would be worth it.
Full immersion. And this is going to be, again, downtown Minneapolis, the Hilton Hotel.
And
April 5th.
5th through the, whatever that Wednesday through that Saturday is.
Oh, boy. You're going to be in heaven, aren't you?
Well, if I can find out where the trains start.
Just take a cab.
Yeah.
And then what else do we have here?
Well, tomorrow it's a fun event at the Minneapolis Public Library on Nicollet Mall. The Little Free Libraries, which began right across in Hudson, Wisconsin, is going to have a 5th anniversary bash and a fundraiser. There are 25,000 Little Free Libraries now in the United States and 70 countries. And it is just an amazing story of how Todd Bowl built this little schoolhouse to honor his mother. And now it's exploded. And so they want to raise enough money to double the number. And we all know what the little libraries are, those little structures that are on posts that you see all over now. They're also considered an art form, a folk art form now, because people can decorate them any way they want.
Marvelous.
So that's at 6 o'clock tomorrow. They're going to, Kevin Kling is going to be doing some stuff, and there's going to be music and a video, and it's going to be a fun 5th.
Kevin Kling, you know that's going to be wacky.
It is going to be wacky.
Right off the wall. You know, Minnesota, and of course we have a big listening audience over in Wisconsin right across the way here. This is big book-selling territory. Publishers know that. We collectively read here, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. And I should also tell you that the AWP convention is being chaired by Jared Zentak, and people who knew the Loft know that he was the program director there for 19 years, and he has now established a writer's colony up in Door County near Sturgeon Bay. Called Right On Door County Right On, and people can go up there, stay a few days, finish up their writing. I've never been up there, but it sounds beautiful.
Mary Ann Grossman, why are we such a hot book-selling and book-reading area here?
Oh, I think there are several. It is not the winter. I always think when people say it's the winter, it diminishes us. Of course, we like to read when it's cold. Partly, in terms of the national statistics, we're more educated. We have a lot of private colleges. We have the University of Minnesota. We have a lot of people moving here who are educated because of the medical device industry and all the colleges. People help one another. Writers help one another. And it's like a chicken egg that the established writers help beginning writers. There, as far as I know, there's no jealousy. And so, of course, that feeds on itself. And pretty soon you have more and more writers. The bookstores are very willing to help Minnesota writers.
And we have people like you, man.
I was just going to say that.
Well, no, it's so true. How many years have you been working on the book beat for the St. Paul
Papers? It was 83.
Well, I'm going to say, it's true. You are revered by the publishers authors. You nurture these people. You help them along. And part of the reason this is such a fervent always growing and dynamic book market is because of people like you.
Well, and we should also give credit to the Strib. They have given, the Star Tribune, they have given a lot of resources to Laurie Herzl.
Laurie Herzl does a good job.
Yes, she does, and more power to
She's
them.
She's your counterpart
right.
So, well, thank you, and Laurie and all the others who helped this thing along here. So we've established we have collectively a hungry mind, don't we, for books.
Oh, David would love that.
David Yanowski, that used to be the name of a bookshop by McAllister.
And then Ruminator.
And he sold the title of that. I think he made a pretty good sum of money.
Yeah, it wasn't enough to keep it there.
It's
but
a great title, though, Hungry Mind. Well, that's what we are here, folks.
And he's
working
for Sue now, so he's Sue Thunberg.
Right.
So
right.
We will be going down to the new bookstore.
We'll see
David downtown.
We'll see our lovable curmudgeon downtown, David Yanowski. Talk about a great book guy, isn't he?
Right.
He knows his stuff.
He is the repository.
Mary Ann Grossman, we have lots of books to talk. I'll tell you what we're going to do here, Kyle. Let's take a break. It's 12:20 right now. We are at 34 degrees bakeries in the Twin Cities. Marianne Grossman, the beloved, respected, revered doyenne book critic of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Did I forget a superlative?
You
there?
Did not.
Okay.
I'll think of one if you did.
You get your books all set to go. We're going to take a break, hear from our wonderful sponsors, and we'll be right back with Boodles of Books. You finally found it, that old photograph of your grandmother that you've always wanted to share with your grandchildren, but it's torn, cracked, and faded. Well, don't despair. Bring it in to Images of the Past in Stillwater. They specialize in restoring and preserving memories for future generations. So when you bring your old photos to Images of the Past, you can share that beautiful photograph with your grandchildren. You can see examples at klbbradio.com. Keyword, photo. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barbershop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
The Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater has a monthly event for local mystery writers and fans. Held on the first Wednesday of each month, the Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour always includes a lively discussion and a great time. Reservations are required. The cost $10. Held at the Dock Cafe, appetizers are included. Cash bar available. The upcoming April 1st event features Alan Eskins discussing his latest book, Life We Bury. Call 651-430-3385 for reservations. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North, Stillwater.
Hello, Kilf of the Viking here for Viking Meadows Golf Club. Half mile off of Highway 65 in East Bethel, Viking Meadows is a beautiful USGA course. And as a Viking, you know I appreciate beauty. But there's something else, something special about this course. When I get out there, my drives are longer, my shots are straighter. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the name. Maybe it's the course. Viking Meadows in East Bethel. Book a tee time at vikingmeadows.com.
Here we are, Stan Turner with you. We're up to our earlobes in books, 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 because we have one of our very favorite guests with us, Marianne Grossman, the book critic for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And Marianne, as we get through the hour, and look at it fly already.
It is flying.
It's melting away. If we have time, I'd like to mention a couple of nonfiction books of recent coinage that caught my eye and attention. But first of all, you bring along a lot of nonfiction, but a lot of fiction. And a guy who used to work in your newsroom by the name of John Camp changed his name and his profession and went into mystery writing.
Right.
The Prey series, John Sanford, and it seems every week he's coming out with a new book.
Every year, once a year.
Every week.
This is the 25th.
Oh, gee.
And this is about, and of course we know his Lucas Davenport is his protagonist, and Letty is his adopted daughter, stepdaughter. And in this one, they're chasing, it's like a Manson gang.
Oh, boy.
And so we'll start with the shootout.
What's the title of the book?
The title is Gathering Prey.
Okay.
And this is a shootout where Lucas and his... Mm-hmm. Guys have these people. They're in a shootout with the Manson family, and this is the Manson family trying to get away.
Okay.
At the gas station, Kristen had dropped to the concrete, afraid she'd be hit by wild shots, and Val, Michelle, and Pilot ran past the bodies in the street. As Kirsten got back up and yanked the nozzle out of the RV's gas tank, and then there was another shot from out of nowhere, and Michelle went down, and Pilot and Val turned and saw the diner woman in the window of the diner working the bolts on a rifle, and they simultaneously began firing at her, and she ducked back inside the shop. Then they were both out of ammo, and Michelle was screaming in pain, and Belle picked her up and carried her to the RV and threw her inside. Lane dropped the diesel nozzle on the ground, but managed to get the cap back on the gas tank and pulled into the RV, and they took off, the RV leading for the first 50 yards before Pilot's Firebird blew past it.
My goodness. That's fiction. It sounds like nonfiction on the streets of America on any given day, doesn't it? So that's John Sanford's latest.
Yeah, he does write exciting scenes.
That's out and available. It's been out for a bit then, has it?
Let me see. This
Gathering
is a reader's
Prey.
Copy, yeah, April 28th, but it'll be in the store. It'll be in the stores soon.
Okay.
They're always in the stores before the official.
So it's always a Prey in the title. This
right,
is Gathering
right,
Prey by
right.
John Sanford. Okay.
And I have to say, John is getting much more... woman-friendly in his writing. He married our colleague Michelle, and I think I can see her in these books. He has a wife now and a daughter, and He's a changed man.
Well, for the better, okay? Okay. He can see the virtues in women. Finally,
right.
And they are plentiful, as we all. Don't we, Kyle? We know that. Yes, we do. Okay. Marianne, carry on with your list here. You've got a great big bag of books here you bought in. Some of these not even on the stands yet, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know why I chose all this exciting stuff for these books, but Prudence is the name of a book by David Troyer, who is a very well-respected. He's an Ojibwe from Leech Lake, although he teaches now at the University of California. And Prudence was a real-life woman who was the first woman that Ernest Hemingway ever had sex with, or, as Hemingway said, pleasured. And this was in his memoirs. She was a mixed race Indian, and then she disappears. And David said, "We have hundreds of books about Hemingway, but who knows what happened to this Indian woman named Prudence?" And so that's the name.
Wow.
But so it's about these two young men who love each other and a betrayal. One of them shoots the Indian woman named Prudence. But it's also about the Second World War. Mm. And David writes just incredibly about being a bombardier. Now, there is probably nothing I know less about than being a bombardier in the Second World War.
You haven't dropped many bombs. Maybe literary bombs.
But he puts you in that, what he calls that plastic bubble.
That's true. That's what it was.
And so this is one of the protagonists, and he's in the bubble.
Of the bomber.
And, yes, and they're going across France on a raid. Mm-hmm. At 0800, just after they reached the coastline of France, they flew into flak. The plane shuddered as the flak burst in the middle of their formation. The plane jumped and dived. And when there were flak bursts above them, it rained down, pinging against the thin aluminum skin of the plane. No one, not the pilot or co-pilot or ball turret gunners, the waster tail gunners or the navigator, had as good a view of those black powdery blooms that were bursting all around them as Frankie did. And all he could do was watch. With 1 minute left, a plane just above and in front of them was hit in the waist by a flak burst. Pieces of the fuselage broke off and came flying by. Skin, ribs, a cowling from one of the engines. As the plane disintegrated, the crew began bailing out. The tail gunner came shooting out the back. Two more men, probably the waist gunner, stepped out of the middle of the plane. One man popped out of the hatch in the radio room. He wasn't wearing a parachute.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I'm so gloomy. We're going to get better. We're going to get happier today.
Yeah, we're going to have to turn up the love lights here in a minute. That's pretty fine writing, actually, from the descriptions I've had from men who were actually in these things.
Yes.
And, it rings true.
We should say David's brother, Anton, may also be a familiar name because he's in Bemidji and he's trying to save the Ojibwe language.
Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So Prudence by David Troyer,
right.
T-R-E-U-E-R.
Right.
This center's also on mm-hmm. Mr. Hemingway, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of his first conquests, okay? Now, what else do we have?
We have what I think is going to be one of the big books, besides Prudence, of the spring,
okay.
Forgiveness for You, and four is the numeral, by Anne Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. And it sounds complicated and funny, and in a way it is, but she also raises some very interesting questions about faith and grace. Mm-hmm. It's about an ex-priest who somehow, and he's living a quiet life in a bookstore,
mm-hmm.
and he stumbles upon this ad executive named, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Madeline Murray. And she sees a way to start a business in which you can be forgiven for your sins and pay for it without all this messy stuff of going to church.
Oh, wow.
And so some of it is told in memos within the ad agency, which are hilarious. And here's one of them. And it's called the Forgiveness Project. Forgiveness Provider. So, Statement of Work, Forgiveness Provider, date February 25, 2000. Client, Gabriel McKenna, that's the former priest.
Okay.
Overview, branding project for a sole proprietor, former clergy, who offers expert forgiveness and absolution in exchange for a flat fee that ranges from $2,000 to $5,000 per sin. Business is largely word of mouth, and relies heavily upon the character and charisma of its principal. Name, tagline, and mark should convey both dignity and accessibility with a touch of humor to reflect Mr. McKenna's personal style.
My goodness. And whose description was that, huh?
That's Madeline
Murray. Madeline Murray, yeah.
So she's managed to have humor and questions about faith. You think it's kind of, oh, there's another lightweight, but, and it isn't. It's very, it would keep book clubs busy forever.
Really? Okay. Well, that's one to seriously consider. What else do we have, Marianne Grossman?
I'm trying to ease my throat. Why
yes,
here?
Your sore throat.
I think one of the sweetest, gentlest books that I've read for a long time is Raising Twins, A True Life Adventure by Freya Manford. Freya's a poet and daughter of Fred Manford, and she did a biography of her father.
A Minnesotan.
Lord Grizzly.
Right.
And this is decade by decade going through with her twins.
This is nonfiction.
Raising
twin
right.
children.
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the hilarious parts that is too long for me to read is this whole conversation with her and her husband, Tom Pope, and they're in bed. The twins are 3 months old, and all of a sudden they slept through the night, and these parents are absolutely out of their minds with lack of sleep. And they're trying to figure out if the children are dead. And they think, well, they probably aren't, but if they're dead, they'd be dead in the morning, so maybe they could go back to sleep. And she writes, at the time, that made perfect sense. But you have to remember, you know, twins are really hard. In fact, experts say that until twins are about 3 years old, parents are really managing more like four children.
Right, right.
And twins are becoming more common, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either. I wonder why that is.
Might be fertility drift.
Ah, okay. Well, we see the picture of the twins as kids on the top of the cover, and then the bottom we see them at graduation
day. Right, Bly and Rowan. Okay. Yeah, so they're growing up now. And she also intersperses her poetry. And she was having dreams about when they were toddlers, about a tidal wave coming in and how she was going to keep them safe. And this is one of her poems.
Okay.
It's called Tidal Wave.
All right.
How will I swim with both arms holding twin sons? Should I save the soft-hearted boy born with one raised fist, or the boy who first saw the stars beyond my face? Over and over, I choose them both, stroking toward the light. Why do I feel satisfied riding the curb of my death and theirs? I am doing what I can, even if it is never enough.
Wow, wow. This book is all about sleep deprivation raising kids.
It goes on then because it goes through the twins' whole lives. And and part of it is how they struggle to keep the twins' identity and how torn she was about never taking sides. If you've had twins, of course, you'll be interested. If you have sequential children, you'll be interested. And I have no children. I still loved it.
Right.
Because there is such a spirit of love. If you met Freya, you would know that would be in her book. We'll read a couple more if we have some time.
Okay.
And should we do some poetry?
Let's do that. Raising Twins, by the way. Freya Manfred.
And it's from Noden Press.
Noden Press here, local imprint. Right. Okay. All right. Now, Noden, speaking of Noden.
So Norton Stillman does a poetry anthology of Minnesota writers, poets. He's done 1, 2, 3, 4. This is his seventh. And it includes both emerging poets and those who have already
established themselves.
And so this is by John Lee Clark. And the interesting thing about him is he's both deaf and blind.
Oh.
And you have to know that because I'll read part of this. And this is titled On My Return from a Business Trip. Let go of my arm. I will not wait until I'm the last person on the plane. Go away. I never asked for assistance. What? I don't want that wheelchair. I'm fine. Let me walk. Let me feel the spring of my fiberglass cane off the walls. What? I don't want the elevator. Leave me alone. I don't know what color my bag is, and I don't care. No, it won't take forever. Go away. I'm fine kneeling here. No, no, yes. See? I told you it wouldn't take forever. Now, will you please go away? What? I'm just waiting, like you. Let me feel the air get sucked away just before the shuttle pushes it back. No need, no need. I can step off by myself. Let me go. Let me go home. Go away. Let me walk with my bag rolling behind me in the sun. Let me veer off a bit here onto the grass. No, I'm not lost. Go away so I can find out that spring's in my own way.
Wow. This man, deaf and blind.
Yes.
And this is his expression of frustration.
John Lee Clark.
Wow, that's in a new anthology, the Noden Poetry Anthology.
Mm-hmm.
A local publisher, our friend Norton Stillman, put that together.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Wonderful. Marianne, let's see, we're at 12:35 right now. I didn't mention, do you have any more from the anthology you wanted to read?
Well, let's see if we have some time, because then we've got to get to this other stuff, too.
We do. If I could, just for a second here, a couple I mentioned, I had a couple of nonfiction books I'd like to talk about very briefly. One is an excellent book, it's called A Brief Life of Charlie Chaplin, and it's by an author you have great respect for. His name is Peter Aykroyd, right, Marianne?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right, yes.
Interesting thing, just give you a little taste, a little flavor of this book about Charlie Chaplin. I think he's intriguing to just about everybody. Aykroyd writes about Chaplin during the silent movie days when Charlie was established in Hollywood and starting to show off his genius in directing, not just acting, but directing. Here's a quote. Chaplin sometimes goaded an actor or actress into a good performance. In one scene, the mother of a young man is given the news of her son's death by a policeman. Chaplin wanted no expression from the actress at all, the mother. But the actress, Lydia Knott, could not oblige, so he shot and reshot the brief scene 80 times until Knott, in the words of an assistant director, got so angry that she swore at us and just went through the scene in such a temper that we finally got it, exactly what Charlie wanted. Another short scene in which Edna Purviance throws down a cigarette and refuses to go out, consumed 2 days and 90 takes. Charlie wanted to reach a purity of expression. Chaplin had great patience in unfolding his vision. I don't know why I'm right about the scene, he said during the making of the film. I just know that I'm right. That's from Charlie Chaplin, A Brief Life by Peter Aykroyd, just out within the last couple of months. That's a key.
And I think it was important that when we were talking before we started about how you have to be really careful about celebrity biographies, because a lot of them are cut and paste, but Aykroyd you can always trust.
You can. That's a very, very telling and very good point. Rather briefly, and then we'll get back to our fiction. This one, in fact, I think the author is in town, is coming to town if he's not here already, Eric Larson.
He might be coming for AWP. They're all coming.
Okay, that's probably it. His latest book, Dead Wake, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania. Larson has written a number of bestsellers in the Garden of Beasts about Nazi Berlin in the 1930s, Thunderstruck, The Devil in the White City, Isaac Storm. This one, Dead Wake, about the Lusitania. And he writes, we know basically the facts about the sinking of this ship. It was a British Cunard liner, went down, sunk by a German U-boat, a submarine in 1950.
Actually, Stan, probably of a stone.
Well, okay. Well,
we're old.
Yeah, don't forget the Civil War happened before we were born, too. Yeah. But the Lusitania was a flashpoint for America's isolationists in World War I. We didn't get in the war until 1917. This ship, with many American passengers on board, was sunk by the Germans in 1915. And what Larson gets to, I think, is what appears to be a whitewash of the investigation by the British Admiralty, which was in charge of investigating. I'm not going to go into the details, but there are many aspects of the book that are certainly worth your time. Dead Wake, The Last Crossing of the Lusitania. And you saw this, too, in the New York Times, as I did. The Times interviewed Eric Larson, this author, just about his writing and about literature in general. And if I could just read a couple of quick excerpts from the interview by the New York Times with Eric Larson. One of the questions of him was, if you had to name one book that made you who you are today, and that is a best-selling narrative historian, what would that one book be? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'd have to go back to Hemingway. In Our Time is the book, the Nick Adams stories. Hemingway may not have been the nicest person in the world, says Eric Larson, but his work gave me a new way of thinking about writing, the value of weeding out adjectives and adverbs. He was, above all, a master of the art of not saying. Interesting. But the Nick Adams stories also had a more personal resonance. Something about them tapped into the passions roiling my soul as a young guy in college and immediately after. One line always stands out. He was awake a long time before he remembered that his heart was broken. Wow. One final thing. Eric Larson asked by the Times, if you could meet any writer, dead or alive, who would that be? Well, he said, Hemingway. Would have to be Hemingway again. He said, I'd like to have met him in Paris for a drink. What else? At the Closerie de Lilas, where, incidentally, a small plaque marks his place at the bar. After a couple of Pernod, I'd have asked him why he was so mean to Fitzgerald and why Catherine had to die at the end of Farewell to Arms, I'd like to have asked to talk to him about the art of not saying, in particular, one of my favorite of his stories, Hills Like White Elephants. I'd probably walk away thinking he was a jerk, but still, I would have liked to have met Ernest Hemingway. So anyway, yes, Eric Larson, a fine writer of good books, narrative history. So just a couple of mentions of some non-fiction books out there now.
Okay, right. So there's one fiction book that I should talk about. I'm not going to try to read from it because it's patois, and but it's Marlon James's A Brief History of Seven Killings, which was a nominee for the National Book Critics Circle Award, which is the most important award along with the National Book Award. And he teaches at McAllister. It's about Jamaica, and it's told in about 20 voices. Drug dealers, dons of the neighborhoods in Jamaica. It is absolutely dazzling writing, but you have to stick with it. And it's A Brief History of Seven Killings. It was on every 2014 best of list.
Wow. Marianne, can we just take a break here for a second? Let's take our final time out here for a commercial message, and we'll get back and conclude our discussion here. This is fascinating. Marianne Grossman, the knower of all, the omniscient one when it comes to books. We'll be back with her right after this.
Are we moving on?
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barber shop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
They've been sitting on that shelf for years. Those special memories of your childhood on slides, videotapes, or 8mm film. You want to share them, but you don't have a way to do it. Now is the time to let Images of the Past do it for you, and you'll have those special memories to share with the family. Images of the Past can transfer your memories to DVD to be enjoyed anytime by the whole family. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past and at imagesofthepast.com. The Stillwater area is most fortunate to be the home of Valley Bookseller, located right on Main Street in downtown. If you or anyone you know likes to read, this is the bookstore for you. Books, book clubs, book specials, book events, and more books. Check out their website at valleybookseller.com to see events, special sales, and staff recommendations. Call 651-430-3385. Valley Bookseller. Great books. Great people. 217 Main Street North, Stillwater.
Find out why more people come here to River Valley Ford.
Your truck headquarters in the St. Croix Valley is River Valley Ford in Baldwin. It's a great time to buy a new F-Series truck, and Ford Motor Company has made the deals too good to ignore. Outstanding factory rebates and incredible lease options mean you could be driving a new Ford truck today. Our inventory of new trucks has never been better, so stop and see us today. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and neighbors choose River Valley Ford in Baldwin.
And we jump right back in and hear Marianne Grossman with us, the book critics for the book critic, I should say, for the St. Paul Pioneer Press for many years. A much respected reviewer of books. She knows the ins and the outs, especially a nurturer of local authors and publishing houses, and just a wonderful friend to us all here. Marianne, thank you for being with us today.
Got
a little bit of a rasp in the throat, but
yes,
you're doing
fine.
And we want to, in our remaining time here, let you just dive into what you have here in the way of. We're talking mostly about new books coming out, you know, for spring and summer.
This is what I'm talking about now has been out since actually October of last year, but it is published by Grey Wolf Press. It has made such an impact in the literary world that we have to talk about it. It's called Citizen, an American Lyric. It's by Claudia Rankine, and it was the first book ever to be nominated in the National Book Critics Circle Awards in two categories, both commentary and poetry, and she won in poetry.
Wow.
It's a combination of essays and scripts and artwork, all looking at racism in the 21st century. And I will read just a little bit. Certain moments send adrenaline to the heart, dry out the tongue, and clog the lungs. Like thunder, they drown you in sound. No, like lightning, they strike you across the larynx. Cough. After it happened, I was at a loss for words. Haven't you said this yourself? Haven't you said this to a close friend who early in your friendship, when distracted, would call you by the name of her black housekeeper? You assumed you two were the only black people in her life. Eventually, she stopped doing this, though she never acknowledged her slippage. and you never called her on it. Why not? And yet you don't forget. If this were a domestic tragedy, and it might well be, this would be your fatal flaw, your memory, vessel of your feelings. Do you feel hurt because it's all the, quote, all black people are the same person, unquote, moment? Or because you are being confused with another after all your hard work?
Mm.
This is a dazzling book. There's nothing quite like it. Citizen and American Lyric, Gray Wolf Press.
Amazing. A local imprint again.
Yes.
We have the Minnesota Book Awards coming up, do we?
We do.
Okay.
It's going to be at the Union Depot.
Okay.
And the date escapes me at the moment.
It's in April.
Yes.
And
I think it's that second Sunday in April.
Your former colleague and our good friend Larry Millette has a couple of books in the running. One in the fiction category, Strongwood.
Right.
What he calls a crime dossier, which is a fascinating book. I've read it, had him on the show here.
Right. And the other one is housing, because he was also our architecture.
Yeah. Minnesota's Own, it's called. And it's a survey of more than 20 mansions still occupied, still
The most glorious one is right here in Stillwater.
It is.
The one that has the
Suntry Mansion.
Has this amazing sort of Byzantine.
It has a Moorish kind of Moorish, building,
it's,
right?
It's astonishing. And the book is filled with beautiful pictures.
Absolutely gorgeous. I do hope, Larry, I just kind of hope he wins in both categories, but we don't have the list of all, we don't have time actually.
And
to
he's
run down
never
the list.
Won, so it would be wonderful.
He deserves to. Yeah. He has done so much good. Larry Millette, we're pulling for you, kid. What else do you have, Marianne Grossman?
Well, are we almost at the end
here? Well, we've got a few minutes left. You go
all
ahead.
Right. Let's talk about We Know How This Ends, Living with Dying. This is Bruce Kramer and Kathy Werzer. Bruce died of ALS Monday.
This past Monday.
He did 34 conversations for Minnesota Public Radio with Kathy Werzer. And he also had a blog called Dis/Ease. Mm-hmm. So that he's talking about what ALS, what he learned about living with ALS. And so here's one excerpt.
Right.
ALS has taught me great wisdom. It has taught me priority, to love and forgive instead of to fear and forego. It has taught me to value just how precious the human gift can be. It has given me great opportunities to show courage and joy and strength. But it has also taught me that just when I think I can control its machinations, I cannot. What I can expect is to be pushed beyond what I believe I can handle, even to the point of panic. It has taught me to be reduced to a fraction of the human being I wish to be, afraid beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. I believe he had an association with St. Thomas University.
He was a dean.
Yes, so
Bruce, former dean of College of Education, Leadership, and Counseling.
And passed away just this past
Monday. Right. The sad thing was he passed away on Monday, 2 days before the big event that was going to launch the book.
Oh.
But Kathy went ahead with it, and they had 600 people there.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Glorious. Glad to hear that.
So, we know how this ends, Living with Dying. Mm-hmm. And that is Minnesota Historical Society Press.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. University of Minnesota Press.
UMP. Okay. Yeah. All right. We still have some minutes here remaining.
Okay.
So, Marianne Grossman, let us know what else we need to know about.
About every 5 years, people say short story collections are coming back into fashion, but really, they never went away.
Okay.
And a collection by Patrick Hicks, which is wonderful, The Collector of Names, has a wonderful story about a man who's father is in hospice, and he's having this at first scratchy relationship with this large woman who has beautiful makeup, who's taking care of his father, and he's looking for something from this woman about death, and this woman can't give it to him. But so this is a conversation. He's asking her what's going to happen to his father.
Oh, okay.
And she says, her name is Lindsay, each death is different, but some residents open their eyes just before they die. It's like this burst of awareness, and they look around for a few minutes. They might talk like they're perfectly healthy, and you'd think to yourself, oh, good, they're going to make it through the night. But they lay back. They always lay back, and they die. She blew on her mug. Fingers of steam fogged her glasses. Most people are afraid of death. Maybe you're one of them, Pear. Maybe that's why you don't visit your father at first. But it's not the dying that scares us. It's the leaving. We don't know what's next, and that's what really scares us. It's the leaving, not the dying.
Hmm.
And then later, she says the most beautiful sentences I have ever read. The dying are the most alive among us.
Wow. My. Kyle, what are you reading these days? I'm guessing it's not about dying. You're a man in his early 20s, so what captures your attention?
I tend to gravitate towards the science fiction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's ample numbers of those books out there, I think,
there
too.
There are quite a few, mm-hmm. Yes.
Have any particular authors who are favorites, or just anything that appeals to you?
No particular author. I kind of jump around.
Yeah. Science fiction takes you away from this thing we call planet Earth
right.
And gets you out there somewhere, huh?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about science fiction is that the whole subgenre of apocalyptic stories now are becoming very much mainstream because, literature shows our fears. And now we're afraid of the apocalypse, whether it's plague or not necessarily during the Cold War, not bombs or anything, but other ways of dying or environmentalists. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about living.
This has been kind of a depressing show.
What do you say? Let's strike a positive quarter or five. What do you have in that category, maybe? Go ahead and whatever you've got.
Should we read one more of Freya's poems? Because I think with Mother's Day coming up, every mother particularly will understand this.
This is from Raising Twins.
Yes, okay. And Freya Manfred. And
which causes parents to become sleep deprived.
Well, yes. Okay. Right. But she wrote this... when her sons were going away to college.
Okay.
And because twins have such a connection, it was really like losing four children for
her. We'd like to hear this.
The name of it is Ducks Honking. Just after sunset, ducks honk past our window, telling each other the way across the heart-shaped lake. And I fly, too, backward into time, until I become a winged child folded on my father's knee, his warm heart beating under my downy cheek. And then I fly forward until my husband and I are left behind by our two sons, who sprout feathers even as I speak. How wild and lonely the world feels just after sunset, when ducks fly past our window honking in the dark.
Oh, that is lovely. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, that's one to look for sure. Once again, the title, Marianne.
The title of the book, Raising Twins, A True Life Adventure.
Okay, with some poetic pieces
with
from time to time, okay. And what else, m'lady, have you?
Well, I have one more thing with all these emerging authors. Sometimes I fall in love with a self-published book, and I just can't get it out of my mind. And this woman, Carrie Maloney, actually she lives in Star Prairie, Wisconsin, wrote this book, Breath to Breath. And I immediately was going to love it because on the back cover it says, no animals die in any chapter of this book.
Okay.
And it's about a woman veterinarian who's thinking of leaving her job. She's not doing any good, she thinks. And then a man buries some puppies, and she's asked to go to the clinic to take care of them.
Mm.
And so the man then has to work for her clinic. Do we have time to read a little
bit?
Sure,
go ahead.
Okay. So this man, who is just a young man, the wonderful thing about this book, she did not make him a psychopath. He's a young man who did the wrong thing. He maybe isn't awfully bright. And so this is a conversation between the two of them. And the young man, so she says to the young man, you tell me why you don't like me. And he says, okay. He pushed until his thumbnail turned white. What I don't like about you is that you think you're so much better than me. Anna wanted to react. Go on. Just what I said. You think because you have a good job and you're rich and everybody likes you that you're a better person than I am, but you're not. Okay. Well, help me understand that. She made a point not to sound defensive. What do I do to send a message that I'm better than you? His cheeks were reddening. Come on, get real. You turn me into the cops, making you a good citizen and me some kind of criminal. You think that you and a bunch of strangers know how to deal with my dogs better than me. You're even on the radio every month showing the world how good you're doing. And now you're my freaking boss who thinks she gets to tell me when I can take a bad word and when I can't. Little things like that. Anything else, she says? Anything else to make you hate me? No. Okay, then. But I don't know you very well. Carol Bly used to say, psychopaths are not interesting as villains because there's no morality there. There's nothing.
Good point.
So Carrie made this young man real, and he made a bad decision, but he's not evil.
Okay, that's from now. Tell us again. The book is what?
The name of the book is Breath to Breath.
Breath
and it's self-published, but it's a lovely book.
And the author?
Carrie Maloney.
Maloney, okay.
M-A-L-O-N-E-Y.
Sounds just a tad Irish, doesn't it? Just a bit. That's great. Well, we're in the waning moments of the show
here.
Just a couple things. Where you and I, of course, see the, speaking of local presses, we always get the bulletins from the Minnesota Historical Society Press and University of Minnesota Press. They're out with their spring catalogs here, and there's some fascinating, some tempting-looking titles. One, and we're going to have this chap on the show here fairly soon. It's a little out of your bailiwick, but it's very timely and very St. Paul. It's the St. Paul Saints, a history of the baseball team here. They got their new...
Is that Stu?
Stu Thornley. Uh-huh. Right, you know Stu. He wrote the book 6 Feet Under about where the famous are buried in Minnesota in the cemeteries. He is a very witty, fun guy, and he's a very fine writer. And I think if his schedule accommodates this, he's going to be on me with the show next Saturday on the show to talk about
the Saints.
Their stadium, their new playhouse, is under construction in Lower Town.
Opening May 21st, I believe.
I just wrote
a pick of the week about that book.
I think it's in tomorrow's paper. Very good. We'll look for it. The St. Paul Saints Baseball in the Capital City by Stu Thornley. Other books in the MHS Press, Minnesota Historical Society. The Crops Look Good. This is from a news from a Minnesota Midwestern farm family. This really sounds good. Across the Deep Blue Sea, the saga of early Norwegian immigrants. Well, I'm one of those people. My ancestors, anyway. My ancestors. Stassen, a book on Harold Stassen again. A perennial presidential candidate.
Right.
He was a man of substance and a good guy. Some people like to make a buffoon of him. He was anything
but.
He was a very bright and very, very important man.
And his family is still in South St. Paul.
They are. The Stassens are very much among us. Marianne, aspiring writers, what advice do you have for them listening right now?
Read. The biggest criticism of established writers for beginning writers is they want to write, but they don't want to read. You cannot do that. If you're going to be a writer, read everything. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm opposed to people keeping books out of children's hands. Because you can't figure out how to write unless you know how to read.
Do some people try to keep books out of children's hands?
Oh, so we could do a whole show on
really?
Censorship.
I don't think you've ever said that before.
Oh, yes.
Why?
The Harry Potter books, among others. Witchcraft, among other things.
Oh, yeah.
And Judy Blume is still, even all these years later when we're taking on all these topics in YA books, she's still among the most censored.
One of the most... I think the greatest gifts a parent can give a child is to read to them,
whether
it's at bedtime or in the morning.
In fact, if you want a real horror story, there is now a program, an app or something on the computer where this person is taking out all the bad words so that you have a sanitized version of a book, which I think may be even against the copyright laws, but is so horrifying to me, I can hardly get my mind around it.
Well, explain that. If a kid...
A woman didn't like this book, some of the words in the book this child brought home from the library, and so she did a computer program where you can take out all the quote-unquote bad
stuff.
Are
they really bad words? Or are they
I don't know, and I don't care. I mean, the point is that this is what the writer wrote, and you can't do that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. How about you writing a book, Marianne Grossman?
You know, I have no feeling about it. You have to have fire in the belly, and I don't. I mean, I get my satisfaction in writing about others. I'm so happy when I see an emerging writer make it. I'm just delighted that the whole group of people who were youngsters when I started are now established writers.
Who are some of those?
Oh, Kate Green, who else? Garrison, I guess. Nobody ever heard of him.
No.
Lorna Landvik.
Well, look at Millett. Larry Millett and others, too. I mean,
Larry Millett.
Down in many directions.
Louise Erdrich.
Erdrich, absolutely. Just won another award, too. Well, Marianne Grossman, thank you so much, my lady.
Can I come back in fall?
You're going to be here, my lady. Okay.
All right.
You're already booked. Okay. Thank you,
Marianne. Bye, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle. St. Paul Pioneer Press's best year. Book critic, Marianne Grossman. Thanks, Kyle. We'll be back. We'll catch you on the music show Monday, right after the news at noon. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.